It's working. Ah, there we go. I'm just going to invite all the people that have a testimony that I sent an email to that you have a testimony, just to come up and come sit right up here. Awesome. Good, good. Yeah. I'm so grateful that God is who he is. I'm so grateful that he's so big and he is God and he's a redeemer and he brings breakthrough. And I'm so crazy grateful that God is not a respecter of persons and not fragmented and not broken, but he's God in his magnificence and in his power and in his authority and in his forgiveness. And he's so good. And I really felt like I needed that baptism just as much as, I mean, I felt like I got baptized tonight with that baptism. That was so good. I needed that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I actually got a quick word for us tonight. I believe this is for everybody that's here. So simple. I just felt like the Lord said, I know you, I see you, I hear you, and I'm with you. That was it. I know you, I see you, I hear you, and I'm with you. And I feel like if there's anything that's contended over, it's usually one of those four things. I know you, I see you, I hear you, I'm with you. And I just felt like the Lord just wanted you to know and us to know that he sees you. He sees you. You're not invisible to the Lord. Not only that, but he sees all the inner workings of your heart. He sees all the history, all the places you've gone, all the places you're going to go, exactly where you are right now. He hears the cry of your heart. He hears you. He hears you. There's been times in my life that I kneel down to pray and I tell God, do you even hear me? Have you ever been there before? Do you hear me, God? Are my prayers falling on deaf ears? And I believe the Lord would tell you tonight, I hear you. He's a good father. He hears you. He knows you. He's with you. And so I just wanted to read a quick scripture, and then I'm going to hand it over to my friends who are going to give a testimony. But this is from Exodus 3. And just starting in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This is the part that I felt like the Lord highlighted to me. This is verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I just felt like God just wanted us to know tonight, I hear you and I see you, I know you, I'm with you. And the Lord has breakthrough in his wings. I just feel, during worship, I was praying and I just was inviting like the Holy Spirit. And I just saw a picture of the Holy Spirit and he was just had long wings and he was just soaring like through this place. And I think sometimes we feel like the Holy Spirit is so, like, he's peace and he's, and of course he is, and he's gentle and he's beautiful and he's our helper and our counselor, but he's power. But he's breakthrough. He's resurrection life. Like, this is the Spirit of the living God. And I just saw him stretch out his wings, his beautiful white wings like a dove, and just soar, just blow through this place. And, you know, there's a lot that I don't know, but I know that the Lord is real and he's power and he loves you and he loves me and he will not give you a stone if you ask for bread. He's a good father. And so, Father, we just grab hold of your goodness tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I say everything, every good thing, every perfect thing from heaven, God, I call it forth right now into this room in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. So we're just going to give testimony about what the Lord did over the last 5 weeks.
Hello, thank you. I just want to share what the Lord has been doing in my life for the last 5 weeks going through this program. It has been amazing. I had my first encounter with the Lord a week into the program. And Becky shared her story about her encounter. And the very next day, I had my first encounter with the Lord, and it was so amazing, and I'm just so thankful to the Lord. He took me on this beautiful drive, and we were going on a scavenger hunt, just driving to all of these different places I would never have thought to go to, and I ended up in Beverly Hills, and I ended up in Hollywood, and I ended up in all of these different places, and I was wondering, why, Lord, are we going to all of these places? But I was enjoying his presence, and on the way home, I was driving home, and he said, oh, no, go up this way. And so I did, and I saw where he was leading me to. It was this beautiful overlook. It was a Friday night. It was about 10 o'clock, and there was nobody there. So I know that he brought me there at that time when there would be nobody there, and it was just me and him. And I got out of the car, and I just felt his presence like I've never felt before. And I got out, and the wind was blowing, and he was just pouring his love into me. And he was telling me how much he loves me and how much he loves all of us and what a good God he is. And he showed me that he has a plan for my life. It was the first time in my life that I ever felt free of the persecution and the chains from the past, and he broke them all, and he made me feel that freedom. And I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, so much for that, because that was just the biggest blessing. And it was such freedom and such love and such a testimony to what he's capable of. I can totally relate to the baptism story. I've been persecuted by the enemy and by evil spirits and by lies for years and years and years. And the Lord has freed me from all of that. And he's created a table in front of my enemies. And he's just continuing to bless me in new and amazing ways. And I'm just so thankful. I want to give the Lord, I just want to give you all of the thanks and the praise, Lord. And I just love you so much. And I release that onto all of you. If he'll do that for me, he'll do that for all of you. And I just release that onto all of you, because the Lord loves every single one of us, even those of you online. He loves all of us the same, because he created us. And I just thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Good evening. I also want to share an encounter story with you, but I feel like I want to tell you something before I do that. You know, life can be really harsh sometimes. And, you know, sometimes you get knocked down and, you know, that's normal, but sometimes you get knocked down, and as soon as you try to get up and take a breath, you get knocked down again and again and again. And that kind of happened to me. And in the last 3 or 4 years, I lost 6 close family members, and 3 of them were my siblings. And I had a really hard time getting back up. And I went from being an on-fire Christian to lukewarm at best. And I tried different things, and I wanted to get back in the Lord, and it was just really hard. And I came to the Father's heart, and I really didn't want to do it. Because, you know, you get to where you can't even open your Bible, and you try to pray, and it's like, oh, what's the use? But the Lord met me, and I'm not where I was, but I'm getting back. And I started to hear his voice again because I hadn't heard it in a long, long time. And it was pretty amazing. So the vision I want to share with you was Allie was leading us in an encounter, and she was having us meet with Jesus in heaven and asking him to show us the place that he prepared for us. And then she said, you know, after we did that, she said, ask Jesus if there's anything else he wants to show you. So I did. And this is what he said, or this is what he did. He took me with him and we were flying. This was in heaven. And we were flying over acres and acres, as far as my eye could see, of fields of beautiful flowers and fruits of every color, every kind. And it was pretty amazing. And I asked him what this was. And he told me that it was the harvest from the fruits of my labor sown here on earth. And you know how Jesus knows your question before you even ask it? I was just overwhelmed and I said, how could this be? He already knew that I felt like I had done so little to advance his kingdom here on earth. He told me that every act of kindness, every smile, every encouraging word, every blessing, every gift I'd given in secret became a seed that was then multiplied by the others who received it, causing them to be inspired to do likewise. Together, this created an enormous, beautiful harvest in heaven. But that it was all credited to my account because it was initiated by me. This was, you know, overwhelming and completely undone. But I just feel like I want to encourage anybody else who's ever felt like, you know, you didn't lead enough people to the Lord, or, you know, you really haven't amounted to much spiritually. God sees every little thing, and even things you forgot about. And they're all written in his book, and they all bring a beautiful harvest. And it's more beautiful than you could ever think or imagine. Thank you.
Well, I'm Loretta. Well, I just want to say that there's one week that really moved me, and God moved me. But I want to say also about the first 2 weeks, starting about maybe the second week of the internship class, I began to literally feel myself stand up so tall in the spirit. And it's like, wow, Lord, what is this? And it may become, you know, it may be a surprise to you, but it's like I lost myself years ago. Testimony that you'll hear maybe someday. But I've been asking the Lord in my intimate time with him, in my prayer time with him, Lord, I want to know not what I see in myself, what do you see in me? And I've been praying, what do you see in me? And so about the fourth week, we went on this little journey with Jesus. And that's when I knew that I got unraveled. I was unraveled that night. And I knew there was a breakthrough. And the Lord began to show me. I was in heaven, and my vision was just dancing with him on this rolling hill. But before we were dancing, I ran to him, and I jumped up in his arms, and he twirled me around. Because when I get to heaven, that's what he's going to do. And so, I have to let you know. You know, it seems like every time I speak, I cry. But this is not the Loretta that the Loretta knows. I used to have a really hard heart. And I remember thinking when I was in my early 20s, Lord, I don't cry much. Why? And certain things would just make me cry, but not anything about the Lord. And he really, some things happened in my life, and you know what? I say it's a good thing now, because I'm where I'm at because of him. And he took me, he took something, some bad things, and he turned them around to good things. And I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be, my heart wouldn't be the way it is unless he did a change in it. So he's tenderized my heart. I just want to say that. But I just want to read a little a scripture. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And that word rejoice, in Hebrew, it's he will, what's the word I'm trying, he will just, it's twirling, yeah, it's twirling, it's leaping, it's jumping, but he's like, over the top for you. He's just like going crazy over you. And it's like, wow, you're doing that for me? Just for me? I mean, you know, I dance, I twirl, but he really goes out of his way and twirls, you know, and leaps over, you know, and leaps for you and round you, and, you know, and he's doing that for you. He's doing that for me. And it's like, wow, Lord. And he was beginning to download that night lots of things about what he really thinks of me. And I was like, wow, Lord. But he did say, well, after that, there was a breakthrough. And breakthrough was happening. And after that night, it was going home. In fact, it was that night. And I started seeing visions of what the Lord is going to be doing through me. It's like, oh, no, Lord. It's like... I was getting nervous just thinking about it, seeing the visions. But you know what? In order for me to get there, I mean, I have to just let go. And he says, Loretta, it's time to let go. And on the fifth week, we had prophecies over us. And the words, they were going around the table and prophesying over everyone. And every single word that I received was on target. And it was, God had already confirmed most of it. There's some that were surprises, but but he was telling me, he was sharing, he's saying, Lord, Loretta, you were at many times thinking the adversary was attacking you, and there was many times he was, but he says, for the most part, you were binding yourself up, and he says, and I'm unraveling you now, and you're not going to be the same. So I just thank you, Lord, and I just release that to all of you who feel like you've been tied up in knots, and that you, Lord, that you just unravel them where they're at, in the places they're at in their lives, Lord God, and that you just release a victory in their hearts, Lord God, and in their lives, and let them see them stand up strong in the spirit, Lord God, and Lord God, and that I just cast out all intimidation in Jesus' name that was in me. I cast that out in you in Jesus' name, and I just thank you for, Lord God, that you're just doing a miracle in each and every one of their lives in Jesus' name.
Can you guys hear me? I'm Noriko, and I really want to testify of God's kindness and his tenderness, and also his perfect timing, because I've asked the Lord, I really want to know your times and seasons, and he's been faithful to show that to me over the last number of years, but in particular this season. So I joked with the group last week that God brought me to Jubilee to die, and particularly to the class. I knew I was supposed to do the class, and I've known John and Michelle for 20 years. Yay, John and Michelle Klein. And known of Jubilee many years, but this was the season he's brought me here, and I hope to stay for a long time. So I feel like what Pastor Steve has been preaching over the summer was just a synergy with what then happened in our group. And so that idea of coming to die here is more so to the soulish control that I thought I had surrendered. I don't know if you ever relate to that. I thought I had surrendered fully. But needing to go to that place of entering the sufferings of Christ. So I just want to tell you the point of trauma, more so not to glorify it, but just to say this was what it was for me, because life happens, you know, and how God yet uses it for a far greater weight of glory, and make everything beautiful in its time, and I'm still in that process. But anyway, have been married for almost 17 years and met my husband in the renewal days, those of you who know that. So I was in Harvest Rock Church on staff there for many years and felt like God brought us together divinely, right? And I'm living life of faith and having many, moving all over in obedience to the Lord these years and just being in ministry and loving him, and so going through Job seasons and, you know, the whole thing. But also seeing many, many, many miracles. And God led us recently back to Los Angeles, where I'm from Seattle. And then unexpectedly, my husband, going through his own crushing, decided, I need to leave. Just need to leave, you know, need to be with God. And questioning everything, including then our, quote, divine marriage that God put together. So I say that laughing. Of course, it was horrible. But in the sense that... I realized I had no say and felt very powerless. And I realized I couldn't contend my way out of it. I couldn't intercede. I couldn't everything. In fact, I felt like God really wanted to lay me flat, which he did. And so with that, so here comes the class and this idea of meditating on Hebrews 10, you know, coming into God's presence, but meeting him through meditating on, you know, his death and his burial, and his then, of course, you know, resurrection and ascension and the victory. But I felt like God, I felt like I had a revelation of, first of all, I experienced my husband's leaving as a sting, like the sting of death. It was not just rejection, which I felt before, but it was being forsaken. That's the word he gave me, was forsaken. And I was like, Lord, I can't believe you felt this, and you felt this for me. And so when he kind of showed me, I'm like, wow, you felt forsaken, you felt rejected, you did all this for me, even when I rejected you and I forsake you. And he also showed me the verse from Isaiah 53, which we were talking about. The word tender stuck out at me. What he was a tender shoot that grew up, and he was a dry root, you know, from root from dry ground. And I said, Lord, you know what? You were so tender. You know, you grew up, you were vulnerable, you were naked, you weren't super nurtured, you know, like he understood how vulnerable and naked I felt. So the encounter with God that I had during this was not fun at all, okay? It wasn't like super angels, butterflies. I mean, it became that, like, later. But I got really sick during this thing. And for about 2.5 weeks, God laid me out. I just had to drag myself to church and our meeting. I couldn't teach, couldn't do anything. And so the vision I had was I was in a tomb. I was in my tomb. And I was wrapped up in grave clothes, like a mummy. So even my face was covered and my hands were covered. And I was lying on my back. And this went on for days, you guys. It was just, I kept going, anything, Lord? Lord, Lord, Lord? But I wanted to say Jesus was sitting with me there in my tomb. And he was like this. Just smiling at me the entire time. And I kept saying to him, Lord, I can't lift a finger. I can't even praise you. I can't even do anything. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly where I want you to be. You know, you can't perform for my love. You can't get out of this. You can't intercede out of it. Just, okay. So in this place, he did so many supernatural things, but of course, allowed me to, he pulled out a root of rejection, because see, it wasn't what my husband did, because that, you know, wasn't what people do to you, right? It's this whole thing. Whatever people do, it's how you react, how you perceive, how your soul reacts. And I realized I could forgive and I could release him and bless him and have no unforgiveness, but I felt so forsaken and rejected. So he had to heal that. Okay, and he did. You guys, this is so supernatural. What would usually take years of therapy, and I've been there too, like 500 years ago, but still, this is like, he was doing something very supernatural. And so, as he began to, quote, resurrect me, as I finally let go, any of the exercises that we had just kind of confirmed, like, for example, Becky, when she did she talked about the Tarzan movie and how, you know, like Tarzan tented over the main woman. And I was like, wow, Lord, you took the brunt of all that rejection and forsakenness for me. You took it all. And or even the idea of going to the rooms of heaven, but also the idea of one time Pastor said, prophesy over yourself for 5 days. Like, write it down, which I had done before. That was cool. But I actually, like, spoke into my phone and prophesied over myself 5 times, which is cool. If you've never done it, I encourage you to do it. It's, like, really cool because you listen to it back and you're like, wow, this is me, but it's the Lord. And then, you know, transcribe it, and it's really neat. but what, so this all just kind of massaged and confirmed the beauty of what God was doing. But I felt like when he, it sounds so mystical, but he started to really raise me up. And the reason I say that is having freedom in my perspective, because I'll be honest with you, in my praying for this situation, I really did have an agenda. I was like, the way that God can be glorified is only if by a certain date, my husband says, oh, I've come to my senses and we have a glorifying, you know, reunion, and my whole family who's unsaved can be like, hallelujah, Jesus and God is alive and all this. And, you know, that's the only way. And I was so humbled that I came to that place by the grace of God where it was like, no, my testimony right now is that I am a much loved daughter of God, that I'm of value whether I'm married or unmarried, right? That I can say to my betrayer, what have you, I bless you, I love you, I bless your sonship, and I can say I forgive you, I hold no bitterness, and I'm free. I'm free. And the last thing I want to say is that because this class was such a framework that I'm so thankful to for God, because it was his perfect timing, that it spills over into other people. And, you know, Pastor Steve talks about that, you know, like when you carry the Lord and what he's done, it just spills out. And I would think, because just having come through a lot of performance, you know, in life, that I had to be like super happy, joyful all the time for my parents to be blessed or have a testimony of God. It was through the devastation, because I was living with my parents, that there was this sweetness that God was doing where we'd like put our heads together and pray. And where even though I'd be like wailing in the other room, they're like, you know, there was just this sweetness and tenderness of God falling over my whole house. And the last thing that I wanted to share was just that after I'd released everything, my husband was sort of like, yeah, I kind of feel like I maybe still need to go through with divorce or whatever. And I was like, you know, I wrote him an email and said, you know what? I think the highest loving thing that I can do, just having the love of Jesus in me, is to give you what you want, this divorce, even though this is not my hope. And to say that my testimony is, though I had hoped it would be one thing, my testimony is that I'm free and I can love and not be attached to an outcome because the Lord is just, he's so good, and he that surrender, that forgiveness has brought massive transformation, like for real. And but then supernaturally, what happened? He called me up sobbing, saying, God, the Holy Spirit prevented me from filing any divorce. And anyway, and just God's at work there. And I go, but at this point, I'm like, whatever, I win, right? Woo! But I have no idea. I don't even care. I'm just so thankful. And that there was such a sweetness to you guys and to the class. It was the Holy Spirit. In a point when I felt so raw and vulnerable and naked, I didn't want to like be around anybody, where I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll just show up. And just the sweetness of God. And I just want to thank you and thank everybody that you guys just, hallelujah. So he's in our trauma and our drama, right? And his life swallows up our death. And I experience that. And I say, I would love to pray over anybody who wants that after, because I am like on fire. Okay.
Oh, gosh. My name is Helen.
And where do I even start? But I came for 4 weeks. I missed the first week. And it was good. It was so refreshing. I know we're here every Sunday, but these Thursdays, it was so refreshing. And Allison has such an anointing that to draw us into God's presence, just from her worshiping the Lord. And I was here at 6 o'clock because my son had to be here at 6. So I had to come with him, and so I was here early, so I would pray with Allison. And then they had the worship team already playing. So, you know, we were just setting the atmosphere for the Lord, right? And so, and it was, for me, it was just a time of refreshment. And the Lord's presence being here so strong. And just in the beauty of the Lord. And it's like, you know, it's what we feel on Sundays, but it was even greater on Thursdays for me. It was just more real or more, I don't even know the word, but it just felt like it was just so much more for me anyways. And Pastor Steve's teachings, well, so I go home, we take notes. So I go home, and the next day I would try to do what Pastor told us to do. And God's presence was right there. As soon as I opened my mouth and tried to say what Pastor would say, you know, saying the blood and the resurrection, I didn't have to go all the way to the end, but as soon as I started saying the blood, God's presence was right there. And so, you know, I would just enjoy and be with him. And I have devotional books, and so I would read that. But of course, the Lord would be magnifying the words to me. And so it was really, really cool for me, my time during the week with the Lord. Here, on the second week, I don't remember the first week that what God gave me, but the Lord gives me visions. And before the rest of the people showed up, the second week that I was here, I saw the Lord anointing every seat. And I don't know what he was doing with that. I know what I saw. That was the second week. The third week I saw when during the worship, everybody was already here. And during the worship, I was seeing angels coming down. And some of the angels had little treasure boxes. Others, some of the angels had a ball of white fire in their hand. And they stood right in front of every person during the worship. And they put it inside us. They put it right inside us. And so I saw that. But the last week, the fourth week, was amazing for me. Right when we were coming around the corner, the Lord said, I have a surprise for you. And as soon as Eric and I walked in, the tables were all set up right here. It was so pretty. It was so touching. It was so pretty. It was just really nice. And I sat in the front. Allison said, we can sit anywhere we want this time. So I sat in the front. And then when the worship started, this was before the people came. The worship started. And they were practicing, and Allison started praying and over the table and blessing the table and what he was going to do that night. And I joined in with her on my own over here, you know, praying for whatever God wanted to do, whatever the Spirit of God wanted to do with us. And anyways, in that time, I don't know if he took my spirit up to heaven or if it's just a vision he gave me. But this whole table, it was inside this beautiful room, a big room. All the walls were white. Everything was white, and there were these gold curtains hanging down. The floor was marble white, but the squares were like big squares. And it was such an elegant room. And then as the people came and everybody was here, I saw us all inside this room. And I kept feeling like, oh my God, it's like the Lord was honoring us. And then Allison called it the banquet table. And And it was like the Lord was honoring us, and it was so special. And so when all of us went into worship, I was seeing, you know, I was hearing the Lord saying, to come and drink of me. Drink of me, drink all you want of me. And then I just started taking these real deep breaths, and I started feeling full. And you know, that lasts me all week. I was full for the whole week. When I'd be at home, it was just like I could feel it. I could feel the fullness, and I was like, you know, just awesome with the Lord. Just me and the Lord and my cat. We were just praising. And my cat, I put on my worship, and my cat is 5 months old, but he's real wired. He's real full of energy. But when I put my worship, he stops playing. He jumps up on my hamper. I have a blanket there, and he'll lay there, and eventually he falls asleep. That's every time. And that's what the life, the Lord, I couldn't stop crying. When the Lord kept telling me, just drink all you want of me. And he was so real to me. I don't know, like I said, if my spirit was in heaven or if it's just a vision he gave me. But everything, me being in that room, all of us being in that room, was so real. I wanted to yell out, you guys, we're in this beautiful white room. I don't know if it's a palace, a room, a house. Well, you know what? I went home and I looked it up in my Bible under Song of Solomon. And it said, and I got it in different versions, okay? In the Amplified Bible, it says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love, for love waved as a protecting and comforting banner over my head when I was near him. Under the Good News Bible, it said, he brought me to his banqueting hall and raised the banner of love over me. The New Century Bible says, he brought me to the banquet room, and his banner over me is love. And so I just had to find something, because it was so real to me, this beautiful room. There was a pillar. Okay, so we were sitting, I was sitting over that side facing this way. So there, in the vision, there was this big white pillar with a beautiful flower vase, but it had lilies, white lilies, lots of white lilies falling over. It was beautiful. Well, in the end, before I came out of it, a few years ago, the Lord gave me a vision. I was here praising the Lord, doing my time with the Lord, when Pastor Steve had us pick a day to do 2 hours to spend 2 hours with the Lord. Well, one day I was sitting there, and the Lord told me, come up here with me. And he took me, him and I were sitting on this huge high mountain looking down. And I'm sitting at the edge, and I'm just moving my legs like this. I'm right at the edge, and I can see the valley. I'm looking down, I can see the valley. The wind's blowing. I can feel the wind blowing. And the Lord is with me, but he's sitting as a lion, a big, beautiful lion. He's just sitting next to me. He didn't speak from his mouth, but I heard him. And he told me, I love you. Because I was hurt, I was real hurt with the Lord. And I didn't understand. And so he told me, I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you. So I turned around, and he's got all, you know how lions are. They have all this mane. And I just put my arms around him, and I stuck my face in his mane, and I hugged him. Well, that stayed with me all week. I could feel his hair, his fur on my face. Every time I would close my eyes, I could feel his fear on my face that whole week. Well, okay. In this banqueting, I saw the Lord coming. He was coming from over there, and he came where the gold curtains were, and he sat there. And it was like, I don't know, this is just amazing to see him as a lion again, because he knows how much that meant to me. So I had to go and hug him as he was, as a lion. I went up and I just put my arms around and I just hugged him. And of course, I'm just crying and crying and crying. Anyway, so that was my vision. That's what I got. Should I pray? Do you want me to pray? Let me say a prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for this church. Because when Pastor Steve started going deep and teaching us deep of the things of God and the how to go into the presence of God, in that time, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I wanted to do that or stay in this church or leave. And I was thinking about leaving. I seriously was thinking about leaving. I started feeling or hearing this voice saying, this is not your church no more. This is not your church anymore. And I kept hearing that, and I almost left. At home, the Lord told me, stay. I want you to stay. So here I am. I'm still here. So, Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Steve. I thank you for the body of Christ, Father. I thank you, Lord, that this church is prophetic. I thank you, Lord, that we're all growing and we're all learning and we're all hungry and we're all trying to do what Pastor tells us to do, Lord. And we're all putting all these things into practice. And Father, for all the body of Christ of Jubilee Church, Father, I bless my family. This is my family. And I bless my family, Father. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. And I thank you for the love in each and every one of my family here, Lord. Every person here, I thank you. Their love is growing. All our loves are growing. And our loves are going deeper and deeper. Our hearts are getting fuller and fuller with the Spirit of God, with the love of God, with the mercy of God, with the compassion of God. Thank you, Father, that in your own way, God, we're all dying to self. In your own way, the way you work in each and every one of us, Father. Like Pastor Steve said, it's that dying of the flesh, and it hurts. Sometimes it does hurt. But God knows each and every one of us, and he knows how to work with each and every one of us, because we're all unique. We're all different, and we're all in different places. But he's doing it. He's doing it. I know for myself that since I came these 4 weeks, all I have to do is close my eyes and think of Jesus, and he's right there. He's right there. His presence is right there. And before, it's like I had to do, it's kind of like a, what would you call it, religion, a religious thing, a ritual, religious, ritual act, whatever. But now I know all I have to do is close my eyes and think of Jesus, and he's right there. His presence is right there. So, Father, I pray that for every one of my brothers and sisters of Jubilee Church, Lord, that everyone will know you and feel you and have that assurance in them. You're right there for them. You're right there for them, Father, in Jesus' name.
When she was talking, I just felt like there was a spirit of impartation in the room. And if you want to, I felt like the Lord just wanted to release the ability to see him and have visions. And if that's something that's been the desire of your heart that you would like, would you just stand up? I just believe that the Lord just wants to impart that ability to see him and to hear him and to encounter him and have dreams from him. And that's the Lord's heart for us, is that we can easily, just step in, like, there you are, God. There you are, God. And where he gives you pictures, and he gives peace, and he just gives himself. And so, Father God, I just believe it's as easy as just tell God, Dad, I want that. And just receive it. God, I receive that. It's your good pleasure to give good gifts to your children. I want that, Dad. Thank you. I receive that. I receive you, God. I receive the ability to have eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart that understands that it's wide open to you, Father. Thank you, God. You've prepared a banqueting table before us in this room, and it's no, like, accident that we're in this room tonight, God. You desire us. You desire our hearts. You're the lover of our soul, and you're real, and you're powerful. In Jesus' name, I receive that, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Holy Spirit, for just falling on every person, on every heart. Thank you. You lead us to the Father. You lead us. You show us Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, a couple of things. I just want to invite all of our summer intensive people, the leaders and the students and everybody, just to come down. Well, yeah, just to come down right here in front of the